Blog Talk Radio.
Another Saturday in the Care to Read Room. That's right, you've got your Omi on a Saturday. Not accustomed to having me on Saturdays, are you? I thought I'd sneak one in on you. That's right, we're on this evening, and we're starting back with another episode of Reordering the Marriage Vow for the African American for the 21st Century. We're dealing with communal marriages, and we're looking at reordering the marriage vows to have traditional African vows, and we're going to discuss a little bit about what should we put in those vows and what will compose sacred readings and sacred customs that we would like to tie into our traditions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to also tell you, if you haven't already done so, please direct your attention to the website on my webpage. You can go out to that site now, and most of the things on that site is built up already. I'd like for you to register for the 26th if you're going to come and be a part of the open house. From the 26th to the 30th, if you are going to be a part, please register your name and indicate you will be there that week, at least coming to the webpage to take a look at some of the fabulous things we have on that page for you. We're talking about doing the traditional customary tribute to Nina Simone, and there are all sorts of clippings and videos from her life and her music that I am now working on so that I can compose a tradition, a traditional tribute to her. So that you'll find that on the page. You'll also find my book and materials, samples, and clips from the CD that you can actually download. They're free of charge. Help yourself. And you will also find the grand folklore there. Brother Teju Oluboni, a gentleman I used to travel with in doing storytelling and lecturing. Hopefully, when I get ready to go back on tour, he'll be doing some of the work with me, a longtime old friend. And you'll find my master teacher, who was my teacher and who still is my teacher and gave me my training in Yoruba. And don't forget to pay attention to the Oyatunji tribe located there in South Carolina. It's a whole video clipping telling you about their organization. We're actually, not the video, it is a slideshow telling you about his industry and the 36 years he's been in business. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a part of that Yoruba tribe. That is the Ifa tribe that I was trained from. My actual godfather, Reverend Zanu, will be on a clipping that I'm going to put on another webpage, the initial chief who trained all of us. Now, once again, go to that site, put your name on there, indicate that you will be attending so I can take count of the people that's going to be there and who have come and put their name on the page to let us know that they've registered. Now, do please go through the whole website and, you know, look around for the freebies. There'll be more things that are listed there. That is the site where the sanctuary is. That is the site where we're basically building up for the Mantu Enterprise. That is the site where you'll find information on signing up for grants and all sorts of things. And we're still building on that site. The other side that you will find, it will have a large amount of activities and programs that you can enroll in. Please be patient with me. That site, it went up last night, but we don't seem to see it on the publishing. We will put it back up again, and that is Luxor Institute for Family Education. We've got it out there, ladies and gentlemen, the Family Life Center, with all sorts of things for the children. You know your baby can read. Go on that site and find out all the great things about your baby and how your baby can read. Teachers, go out there. Look at those grants and all of those packages of information. Students, if you're interested in sustainability, that information is out there and applications that you can make. Lots of things that I put out there for you, free of charge, ladies and gentlemen. I do want you to, of course, to register as one of my guests, as my friend, so you can go as often as you want. And whatever free we have on that site, you're welcome to it. Right now we don't have a lot of freebies, but we plan to have more. But I am excited about it, and you should be too, because you're part of the royal family. The emperor is in house and in rare form. And you get ready and stay tuned for another segment of Reordering the Marriage Vow for the 21st Century, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you will lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. We have a guest out in the listening audience. We'll be right back at her. Maddie Harvey will be gracing our stage today to talk with us about things that you ought to put into your vows and sacred words that you would include. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you in the air. Got your Omeka 7 in the house this evening, and thank you for joining me this Saturday, and I do appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest in the audience. I'd like to say hello to her. Her name is Matt Harv from Gary, Indiana. She is an elder in her community, and I have witnessed several couples being married. She's also given advice, and she's also acted as an elder to give permission to speak. And we do rely on her quite a bit in this community, and she has a wealth of knowledge to offer us about vows and relationships. She's been in a relationship for over 18 years. Her husband transitioned on with the elders and into ancestralship. She has worked in her community for several years, working with families in the area of social services. She is a social worker by profession. a retired social worker. However, her expertise is working with families, family life education. She's also been an early childhood specialist and taught early childhood for several years in addition to her social work. So we're going to rely on her heavily for expertise in the area of looking at couples. And I'm going to say hello to her, and then we'll go right into our prayer, and we'll be right back at Matt Harv to talk with her. Let me say hello. Hello, Matt Harv. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Just fine. I'm so glad that you accepted and wanted to join us on this segment.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Matt Harv, we're going to go and do our traditional talking cure and our Black African Pledge, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. So hold tight and just keep it right there, all right?
Very good.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please stand to your feet as we get ready for our talking cure. We're going to go right into our talking cure. Because of time restraints, we're going to go right in there. And we have not done our Black African Pledge, the Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path, our ancestors cling, kneeling in perilous underground. Our children cannot hear us crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. And because we have forgotten how to love the adversity, it within our gates and hold up the mirror of the world, shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore, we pledge today to bind ourselves to one another, to brace ourselves to the lowliest, to keep company with our loneliest, and to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, and to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters. In honor of those who toil and unfurl perilous God with golden tongues, and gratitude to the same God who brought us out of the hopeless desolation, we make this pledge today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a pledge to the family. And if you don't already have one, develop one. Create a pledge that you make to your family. And make your family an extended family outside of your home. Your family at home is a nuclear family. But spread your family to the community, which is what we're teaching you, to marry yourself back to the community. Ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative that you understand what vows mean. A noble man makes good vows and keep them. The Bible said it is better that you not vow a thing than not to do it. It's better not to quickly vow a thing unless you're committed. Today we set a decree that what we say on this day, that we will become noble men and women, that when we extend our right hand to shake and give our word is our bond. That our commitment goes beyond any institution of marriage, but our commitment in writing a vow or speaking a vow and confirming it. It is important that we understand that we have to become noble men and women with good character, Iwa Pelu. And these are those buzzwords I'm throwing out there, noble men and women, Iwa Pelu. Also understanding that we are to have a knowledge of self. A knowledge of self and knowing that where we came from is a place of ancient royalty. As I speak to you now, kings and queens, know that you are royalty. Know that your ancestorship comes from an ancient people and you've been called to do a special work. Bow your heads with me and stand with me as I begin to pour libations to the east and the west. I pour libations to the west and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I set a glass of water before my father's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother's side of the family, and I say Ajé. I take the water and I wash my hands, Ajé. And I wash my face so that I do not greet the ancestors with a stale face. I pour libations to Oludulamare, our great high God. I light a candle to my mother's side of the spirit and I say, Ajé. I light a candle to my father's side of the spirit and I say, Ajé. To God be the glory. Lift up your countenance, ladies and gentlemen. Lift up your countenance to your ancestors. And in keeping honor with the noble promise of reciting the old ancient language tongue, I like to recite a prayer for you in Yoruba. Nija eva lowa moa, ija eva lowa boa, tashe, nija eva lowa bona, tashe, nija eva lo boko, legba, nija eva lo hoho, nija eva lo lisa, nija eva lo hoveso, nija eva lo moa, nija eva lo tashe, nija eva lo no tashe. Nija eva lo bohova so baishai tashe. Nija eva lo bodum ba tashe. Niba eva evon ye ba tashe atashe atashe. In translation, it means that is to say, that is to speak thanks to Moa, that I may speak thanks to the Master Diviner. That I may speak thanks to the assistant. That I may speak thanks to the diviner, Alekba. That I may speak thanks to the divine twins. That I may speak thanks to the creating spirit. That I may speak thanks to the thunder deity. That I may speak thanks to Mua. That I may speak thanks to the father. That I may speak thanks to the mother. That I may speak thanks to all of my ancestors. That I may speak thanks to all of you. Let it be so, let it be so, let it be so. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, in like manners, you ought to understand that it is important that we learn our native tongue and that we attempt to speak it. Bear with me as I do a prayer and praise and worshiping for the ancestors. Iba Lua. Iba Jovana, Iba Akoda, Iba Aseda, Iba Araba, Ta Imbilo de Iba, Iba Baba, Iba Yeye, Iba Yeye Baba, Ajuba Ikin, Akoda Ikin Uku. And saying in translation, inspire me, my diviner of the sacred forest. Inspire me, my assistant. Inspire me, a Dakota. Inspire me, a Deseda. Inspire me, a Rabba, who resides at the mysterious Ifa. Inspire me, my father. Inspire me, my mother. Inspire me, my ancestors. And all who I have not named, I invoke you also. And please don't forget me. Yibaluwa. Jobana, Akoda Nifa, Areba Te, Imbilode Ifa, Owoloto, Owolose, Atashe Le, Atashe, Ejiba, Gojiba, Atashe, Atashe. Ladies and gentlemen, in like manner, we ought to pray, and pray without ceasing. Knowing that it's very important that we are to offer up prayers every day to our ancestors in our morning prayer. And we ask that we thank him every morning. And in our evening prayers, do it in like manners like this. We want to thank you for the waking us up this morning, holding us in our right mind. And with the proper exercises of our hands, we are thankful to the many thousands of God upon whose shoulders we stand. We play blessed, Lord, that they may raise ever and higher in the spirit realm of a coach. We pray blessings, Lord, that they abide forever within the inner courts of heaven. In the presence of Olusegun, the almighty infinite Lord of the world. We pray that the countless seas die during the catastrophic will find home. We pray that they find a cool place with plenty of shade. We pray that they find a holy land filled with peace and love. We pray that our unborn children will find a better place down here in this enduring suffering market. We pray that you continue to protect us, Lord, from all hurt, harm, and danger. We pray that you continue to bless us with blessings everlasting. Help us to stay on the path, the righteous path, Lord, truth and understanding. We pray that the eye opener will open our eyes. Lord, please open our eyes. Open our eyes so that we can see. Open our eyes, Lord. Homage comes to pass. Homage comes to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, the atmosphere is ready. It's set. The vibrations are here. Whatever you need, tap in now and get what you need from the energies. The energy frequencies are here and the ancestors are here, ready to share their melanin with you. Tap into the energies and receive. You can receive whatever it is you need in your community, in your life, in your marriage, in your vows. You can receive it in the spirit realm. Let it be so today. Attaché, attaché, let it be so. Homage comes to pass, homage comes to pass. Your deliverance is here. Your healing is here. Everything you need for your community, for your communal African community, it's here today, ladies and gentlemen. Tap in. Employ those young children to tap in. The frequencies are here. We are calling forth those frequencies to be. And we speak things that be not as though they were. We are healed and we are perfectly balanced and lacking nothing. All of our needs are met. In the mighty name of Oladunamore, we thank you for this opportunity, people, of following me and calling your ancestors. And as we call our mother spirit and our father spirit, we acknowledge those ancestors who are here today, whose shoulders we stand upon. I'd like to thank you for your time and effort. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Mrs. Harvey, and I have a few questions for Mrs. Harvey, and we're going to ask her to get right into the discussion with us. We have been talking about writing vows, and Mrs. Harvey is accustomed to vows and has used the traditional vows, but I'd like to ask Mrs. Harvey if she had the opportunity again of reciting her vows and rewriting them, what would be some of the things that she would include in her vows. Mrs. Harvey, you're in the atmosphere.
Oh, thank you very much. I think my vows would change just a little bit, but not much. And I want to give you thanks for the vows that you have and that you brought forth with us, and I would like.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Harvey. Now, Ms. Harvey, we are trying to put together vows, and we're trying to help the young people. And because of your experience, what would be some of the things that you would tell young people? You want to certainly include certain things in there and don't overlook them because of what might happen in a marriage if they don't include them.
Well, the first thing I would tell the young people, the one that's not ready engaged with yet, is to honor and obey their parents. And once they honor and obey their parents, then as they grow up and they get older, they vow, they come up and they look at the vows, they put God first in their lives. That's the first thing they have to do, put God first in their lives.
Well, that's a good point. Now, let's get a little bit more personal, Mrs. Harvey. I want to get up front and personal with you. And I know we're evading a few of the questions, but we have to be used to speaking on ourselves and talking from our reference and our point of view. It's okay. It's quite all right. As an interview, that is my job. Now, let me ask you, when you first was married to your husband, what were you expecting, and did you get everything you expected during those 18 years?
No, I didn't get everything I was expecting, and I tell you what, I expected him to always I was a jealous type of person because I wanted to be first in his life. I had to be the one and only thing. And see, I wasn't thinking properly. I put myself above all, and you're not supposed to do that, you know. You're supposed to let your husband be free to think and make decisions, and you and him agree, sit down and talk, and agree on the decision that you make. And when you do that, then it's no reason for you to have any argument about it because you both agree on the same thing. That's when you take those marriage vows. That's what they're all about.
Now, let me ask you this. We're going to play devil's advocate here. Now, I know personally myself, I never took those actual marriage licenses out or any of the institutional vows because you don't get to keep those. But I did take out my marriage certificate once, and lo and to my behold, I discovered that there was a mistake and that the actual justice of the peace had not married me to my husband but married him to me. He had my same maiden name, and I had to immediately point that out and bring it to the justice of the peace so they could make that adjustment. Now, that's how we overlook very important issues that we should be paying attention to. Now, be it as may, you're paying attention to your husband, and you want him to pay attention to you. What are some of the things that after you got into this 18-year relationship that you discovered you couldn't stand, like leaving the toilet seat up? Thou will close the toilet seat and flush afterwards, like going in the kitchen, leaving a mess behind him. Thou will go in the kitchen and clean up behind thyself when you leave out. Or leaving a trail of mud throughout the living room that will take his shoes off at the door and will not prance all over with mud on the floor. Give me some examples. Come on, Miss Audrey.
He would always leave the coffee pot on. He would always leave it on. No matter how many times we sit for breakfast and have coffee, we sit for lunch or we just sit for dinner, he would always, no matter what, he would always turn the coffee pot on and leave it on. And I thought that was that was so dangerous. I always felt like that he was losing his mind when he did that, and I would always be after him. Sometimes I would have to chase him to the car and ask him, "Why didn't you leave the coffee pot on?" And he would say, "Oh, I forgot. And that was one of the things that I think in a marriage we all fall short. We have some little things that we it trips up in our minds that we get other things, other thoughts about other things, that we need some things undone. And we have to think about that. And we have to learn to forgive others because they're human just like we are, and they make mistakes. And one thing about these marriage vows is when you take, you got to learn to have forgiveness to others.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, you certainly said a mouthful there and took us over into another journey, into another question, and I will pose that to you. What I'd like to say is we're talking about African vows, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to come away from the Euro perspective and go into some African vows, which a lot of you might not be accustomed to. Now, we talk about putting the honey in the marriage because honey is definitely a savor, and it brings the sweetness out of anything. Even if you keep it on the tongue, it brings the sweetness out. And in our relationships, we have a lot of times when things are good and we're on the old high and we got all things working for us, that's when we taste the sweetness of the honey. But then there are times when it gets shaky in the marriage, when we don't think we're going to make it. Like Ms. Harvey said, the jealousy, the problem of not trusting one. Then we have to get that sought out to help savor the marriage, to help hold it together so that we don't get on a frenzy and fall apart. Then there's that vinegar, because it's going to be bitterness and gnashing of teeth. Sometimes you're going to find that you are so disturbed at your husband that you wish you hadn't married him. Now, in that marriage vow, you have to make a commitment. I will govern myself accordingly. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things be of a good report, I have to think on those things because if I allow myself to let flesh take control, I will not honor those vows and I will create havoc in my relationship. Now let's talk about what can go in the marriage vow for the Africans that are so unique and different from any other culture that we need in our lifestyle. Come on, Ms. Harvey.
Well, I think when we take the vows, we should think we should think about loving one another.
Now, Ms. Harvey, this is what I'm talking about. We're not Eurocentric. We're black. You yourself know that being a black person, we have to be accustomed to traditions. Be it Christmas, be it Kwanzaa, we have to be in the mix, and we have to make sure we're on one accord. If husband is not into the Kwanzaa thing, what do? We have to say, husband, you vow to connect yourself to the community to learn about customs and tradition and pass them on to our children. I don't want our children to grow up being void of culture. Now, how do you feel about telling your husband he needs to incorporate culture in the family?
Well, he's the one that's supposed to bring about the culture in the family. He's the head of the
house. What would you tell him?
I would sit him down and tell him, listen, we have to stop and think about what we're doing in our marriage that holds our vows together.
Now, Ms. Harvey, we're talking about culture in your life. Let me say this. Because some people move to the suburb, they are devoid of any cultural activities. The children are talking so proper that they don't know slang. They don't know the most common things going on in the hood. So when they get to the hood, they stand out like a sore thumb. Then the parents and the children look at you with a jaundiced eye and say, what have you done to this African boy that he is not conscious of what his surroundings are or his culture?
Well, this is what he was supposed to be taught in the first place. The father is supposed to bring about the culture and all these things to the family in the first place. You're supposed to teach your children about their culture and these things. This is what, when you take the marriage vows, these are some of the things that you're supposed to think
Now, let me ask you this, Ms. Harvey. What happens if you have a difference of agreement? What if your husband has been so Eurocentric, developed and brought up, that he knows nothing about Kwanzaa? He certainly doesn't know anything about Juneteenth. And then you say, honey, we're going to that Juneteenth activity around the corner next week. And he say, June who? And you say, Juneteenth. Well, who's June who? What Juneteenth? What is Juneteenth? Now you got to school him all about Juneteenth.
Now, I think it's proper that you sit down with him and try to school him about it, because this is something he's not aware of or that he don't know anything about. And this is some of the things that people, marriage couples, go into details about. And this is what we should do. We should try to help one another along the way with that.
Okay, Mrs. Harvey, what I'm speaking of is that when you're dating, and daters and young people and courters and sporters out there, I want you to hear me good. When you select the mate to date and who you want to be in your circle of friends, they have to meet a laundry list, just like Melvin said. Are they culturally sound? Are they culturally correct? Do they know themselves? Now, these are some buzzwords for you if you want to know what Emperor Omi wants. Are they culturally sound? Are they politically correct? And do they know the issues that pertain to African Americans in our community, in our circle? If they don't, you spend that time courting a little bit longer to get them acclimated to those issues of African Americans before you jump into a permanent contractual agreement. Because it won't do you any good to go down that aisle and do a contractual agreement and call yourself marrying yourself back to the community when you're not culturally and politically correct.
Well, this is why we should get to know each other. We should let that engagement be a little bit longer till we get to know each other and get these things straight. Now, our culture is one thing that may not, that some of us do not know about. So you have to help your mate along the way sometimes, because a lot of times they'll sit down with you and you tell them about certain things they're not even aware about.
Now, Ms. Harvey, let me go on because of sake of time. Now, the community sometimes is lacking in having significant people who are leaders and elders in the community. And sometimes we have to makeshift a community, which is what we've had to do, reinvent the community, like we're reinventing the marriage vows. Now, elders are the first that we can teach about our history, and they can pass the baton. I would think that when you are courting, you go to your elders and you ask them about the history and let them do this thing called oral communication. Not everything from a book, because it's been distorted. It's his history. You got to reinvent the oral communication. There's not enough talking going on with the elders and the youth or the adults. They don't have the stories from our elders.
Do you not know that there are so many things that some of the elders don't know about the history?
I know that.
Do you know our history?
I'm aware of that.
And there's so much about our history that some of our elders don't even know about. And we are just now becoming, some of us, just now being awakened to come into the knowledge of knowing about our history.
And, Ms. Harvey, I'm well aware of that. I'm well aware of that.
It's so important that we who know our history would come together and share it.
Okay, let me say this, and I'm not going to make any excuses for the elders, because we have to look at the whole entire nucleus family. The elders are certainly responsible for passing information on legacies and to pass the baton. However, we've had a lot of young people who've rejected the baton and refused to sit down under the elders and listen. Now, talking about marriage vow, elders could come into the pictures and say, this is what me and your mom used to do, your grandmother, and this is how we showed our love for one another. We will exchange doing things for each other. We go out in the cotton field, and when one of us didn't pick enough cotton, we would put the other cotton in their bag so they wouldn't get scolded, so they would have enough. Excuse me, Ms. Harvey, I'm talking about elders now. This is the way they show their love. It wouldn't necessarily be with I love you, because action speaks louder than words. But these are things they need to relate on to their children. And elders are not passing the baton. So we have illiterate elders about their history, and then we have young children who don't want to hear it. And there's no in-between. How do we bridge that gap?
You know how you bridge that gap? If you help your elders to become knowledgeable, and you sit down with your youth and teach them what you've learned. This is what the elders should do, because there's so much about our history that we have been kept away from us for so long that we are just now coming into the knowledge of some of it.
I agree with you, but we're not going to make this.
As we come into the knowledge of it,
we're not going to make this a history class today, because I taught that subject way back when. That tape is on demand. You can obtain it. What we're going to do is get back on the subject. Back on the subject, your 18 years of marriage, what would you have done differently about your relationship? I know the first thing I think about is the fact that I refused to have children the first 5 years because I was getting to know myself and that man, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't bring a child in this world unless I knew for a fact I'm going to be with this young man. Now, I wish that I had paid all bills off, had no debt whatsoever, and completely pay cash for everything. I wish I could have put that in my marriage vow and say that we will not purchase things without letting the other spouse know, and we would at all times keep the economic records and the account books and checkbooks open so that we can see what's being spent. Some of the spouses go out and buy big vehicles or big items without telling the other spouse, and economically it's a tear and a rip into the marriage. Tell me what you think about Miss Harvey. What can we do different to keep our economic status together?
I think that the two couples who engage to be married should come together and sit down and share their financial income with each other and know what each other want to do and go about it, doing it in the way they decide to do it between the two of them.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, because of our time, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to say thank you, Mrs. Harvey. You've been a great guest, and I'm glad you came on the show to give us your 2 cents about bridging the gap of marriage, creating those marriage vows, writing in what we want to say as African American, what we need to say as a people who came from an ancient group of ancestors. We are different. We require different things. We cannot take Eurocentric belief system and impose them upon our lifestyle. Our lifestyles are tribal. Get me on this, our tribal. Take a look at my webpage. You will see the tribal